Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. Today's show is a Road to the Trials episode with Ramiro Guillen, otherwise known as DJ Curly. We haven't talked to him in a while, and he has had a very, very interesting life over the last couple of months, similar to our episode, actually, with Danny Marino. Oddly enough, they actually have the same coach. That doesn't play a part in this episode, but it is kind of funny how that works out. Now, Danny got married. DJ Curly and his wife, Melissa, just had a child. This is so exciting. Actually happened right around the time where he was supposed to run Grandma's Marathon. He wasn't able to run that. So we talked about that. Hey, you know, when things come up, obviously, having a child's paramount in what he's up to. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, running can persist through those sorts of things. So we talked about that. We talked about the shifting landscape of his schedule, his jobs, and how the scheduling of that plays into it. Also, what it's like getting back in shape for a master's runner who is trying to hit these really, really high-level goals that he has reached in the past. So this is not, for him, an attempt to OTQ for the first time. He has done that in the past, but never as a master's runner. And I was really excited to talk to him about that, that's for sure. And finally, also about working with the younger athletes who are roughly half his age that he's helping guide towards their own OTQ attempts. So thank you so much for our sponsors, Vacation Races and Lagoon. Go check them out today, especially the Lagoon Challenge, the 888 Challenge. I can't wait to give that a shot. You'll hear that in the ad. We also did that ad read last week too. It's 8 days, 8 miles of running, 8 hours of sleep. So it's a really, it's a big endeavor for a lot of people, but also I think really a great way to see what you're able to do on a lot of sleep. And for so many of us, me included, 8 hours of sleep can seem like a pipe dream, never mind the normal status quo. So I'm excited to see what happens during that challenge. And that will happen on August 8th, which is obviously 8-8. So a lot of numbers game going on with that one, that is for sure. But it does make it easy to remember. So let's get into it with DJ Curly. All right, Curly, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm so excited to talk to you. So many things have been going on in your life. We have plenty of running to talk about. That's for sure, right? This is the whole point of the exercise. With that said, that is not the most important thing that's going on in your life, not by a mile. So tell people what's been going on.
Well, we had a baby last month. Our baby is a month old now, Naomi Golden.
Naomi Golden, how exciting. So Melissa Guillen, your wife, who's been on the Rambling Runner podcast several times now, and is an incredible athlete and person in her own right. So how was the last like month of pregnancy and the childbirth? How did everything go?
Pretty smooth. It's been going really well. She sleeps all day mostly, but of course, from the hours between 1 and 4 a.m. is when she'll be awake, and Melissa and I will go back and forth. But I'll usually go back to sleep because I don't have the, I can't help with the breastfeeding. Yeah. So sorry, Melissa.
Yeah. I remember those days. Yeah. I was like, I always felt so guilty. Like, all right, there's only so much I can do here. So I was like, all right. If ever has to be a midnight changing, like I'm on it. I got it. Right. So it's like, this is hard enough for you. Right. I can't do anything there. So it's like, all right. Actually, I remember like the first month and a half, like I just felt so guilty that I couldn't help with the feeding. That was like, I would just stay awake. Just to be like in solidarity. And finally, I was like, what are you doing? Go to sleep. What do you think you're doing?
Yeah, I'll just stay up till about 2 a.m. and I'll help with the changing and just like putting her back to sleep. And then 2 a.m. hits, I'll just knock out pretty much till about 6 or 7. And then I'll go run or try to help out in the morning if I can. But usually they're both asleep by then, so I'll just sneak out for a run.
And as we talked about in our first episode, like, you already have, you know, you've gone through this before as well, right? You have two older kids at this point. How old are they?
15 and 12. So I completely forgot everything about
newborns. I was going to ask you. Newborns. I was like, how much came back?
I mean, there's some little things. Melissa calls me the baby whisperer because I'm able to put the baby to sleep pretty easily, and then I'm just like not even realizing what I'm doing, and she'll just be knocked out in my arms.
Well, you have the quiet, dulcet tones, right? Like you've got a very soothing voice. So I believe that. Do you sing? I mean, we're not going to get into full baby talk like the entire hour here. But like, what's your move? Do you just rock? Do a little singing? What are the keys to success with the baby whisperer?
Just a lot of bouncing and I'll just do little shh 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 sounds, and that usually works. Just shush her to sleep.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, hey, this is really exciting stuff. That is for sure. So you have two older ones right now. So how has that been in terms of, like, obviously Melissa's, you know, you and Melissa are spending a lot of time with Naomi. What's it been like for you kind of managing? Again, you have two. You have a teenager. You have a preteen. Like, they also require attention and love. So yeah. What's that been like trying to, you know, be a parent to all of them at the same time?
Well, with them, I have like a schedule. So, you know, I'll go a couple days without having them around. And then, so we pretty much do like every other weekend. I'll go a few days without seeing them. But when they're here, they'll help out a little bit. My daughter will help change the diapers. And yesterday, my son actually watched Naomi for a couple minutes. So Melissa and I can run at the same time. We didn't run together. I took off first, and then 15 minutes later, Melissa left. I was only going 30 minutes. It was a double. And so Noah was watching Naomi for the overlap, and then I got home and took over.
So what was the anxiety like for you and Melissa during that 15 minute stretch?
Well, to be honest, not much for me because I didn't run with my phone. but Melissa ran with it. And, she can log into the cameras in the house and see if everything's going on. But I was like, oh, Melissa's there. So the first 15 minutes was fine. And then I was on my way back. I'm like, what's the worst that could happen in 15 minutes?
I love the positive attitude. That is for sure. My kid, 15 minutes unintended. Lord knows what will happen. That's for sure.
He's 15. And,
That's true. Even my 11-year-old, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, right now, she's supposed to be in her room. Her brother is sick. She's in her room, and my wife is out. So I'm like, I don't even know when I'm going to come back to when I open up the door. Like, she could have taken out all of my wife's craft stuff and just, like, gone to town.
I know how that is with my younger one, 12. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's the same age group. Yeah, so how has that been like for you managing it with from a work perspective, right? We talked last time that you were booking out like every weekend. Like, if people don't remember, you're a DJ. That's how you spend the weekends. You know, it takes up a lot of your time. So how's balancing everything on the work front so far?
Well, from the day job, I have 3 months off. So 12 weeks off completely paid.
Oh, my.
But I don't have that with the DJing. So I took couple weeks off, maybe 2 weeks straight, no gigs. And then my first gig back was a wedding. So it was hard to be away all day from Melissa and Naomi. So I had a little bit of separation anxiety that first week, that first gig back. But then the following week, I was back to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, some Sundays. I've been busy on the weekends now and at night. And I, like you said, the guilt, you know, I get home from the club at 2 a.m. and I'm just like, okay, what can I do, you know, to help out?
But, for sure. And then this is Melissa's first child. So do you guys have family in the area, either your side or her side?
Yeah, my mom lives right down the street, so she helps out a lot. We're lucky to have her right here.
Oh, that's good. Good for you guys. So let's talk about how the running has worked in to all of this. So I guess before Naomi was born, Melissa, during the end of Melissa's pregnancy, what was it like, you know, I guess since last time we talked? So heading into like, you know, April and June, what was the training looking like?
So I was getting ready to run Grandma's Marathon. We knew that Naomi was going to be born early June, late May. And so Melissa was like, yeah, go ahead and race, you know, mid-June or whatever. And so I was training for that race, but as soon as she was born, it was June 4th, I was like, man, there's no way. I mean, I missed like 1 or 2 days of running. That was it. And I felt like my fitness dropped significantly just from that and not sleeping the first couple days. And so like I jumped back into workouts, but I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to run a marathon. Like, this was definitely a bump in the road. And so I just shut it down. I withdrew from the race, sadly.
How much of it was physical and how much of it was mental, do you think, looking back on how you were reacting to what was going on, that week or two?
I think it was a little of both. I mean, I was sleeping no more than 2 hours straight at one time, and I was struggling to hit paces in the workout. So, I mean, I was definitely feeling the physical toll from the not sleeping, and then of course that, crosses over into the mental side of things.
Absolutely. All right. So when you called it and decided, all right, I'm not going to grandma's, what does that look like from a training perspective? Because obviously at that point, you had probably built into your mind, okay, run grandma's, and then for maybe the rest of June, we're going to be recovering from the marathon and things like that. Obviously, you still have a lot of stuff going on in your life, but what did that mean for your training once you pulled the plug on grandma's?
Well, the goal for grandma's was not to OTQ there. It was just like, I mean, I haven't ran my fastest recent time was 2:22 in 2018. Or no, what was it? 2019, I think I ran 2:22 before the trials, and then the trials was just a bad race with the sprained ankle. So I just wanted to put a good time on the map. With grandma's, and then focus on a later race like CIM for a last chance OTQ. So I was looking at maybe something 220 to 222, and I was getting pretty good shape. So then once I pulled out of the race, I just kind of just went back into the swing of things with the group, and just been working out ever since. And with the not working the day job, I just like whenever I roll around out of the house, that's when I go run. And the mileage has been up to almost 90. I'm doing doubles, so I haven't been able to do that, before this. So I'm taking
Is
advantage
that right?
of this. Yeah. I've always
Wow.
been about 70, 80 miles a week and on singles. And so right now I'm taking full advantage of the opportunity to run twice a day. So we're at about 80, 90 miles right now. And so just I have CIM on the calendar, Santa Barbara half in October or November, forget when that is. And I gotta jump into some other races, rip the Band-Aid off. We did a time trial before grandma's. We did a 4 mile time trial, and that's always been a good marker for me. To show me where I'm at. And I was just a few seconds off my PR
Whoa.
from 2015. And I was having a bad day too. I wasn't feeling too good. We had some ER scares before the birth. And so I wasn't sleeping. And then one of the dogs had surgery. So we were definitely not sleeping that week. And so that affected that time trial. But I still ran a really decent time. So I was like, all right, I'm 41, but the fitness is definitely up there. So with shutting down grandma's, I'm just continuing the train right now. I just feel really good training wise. Times are good. So I just need to put some more races on the calendar.
All right, folks, get ready for the biggest virtual event ever in the world of sleep and fitness. It's the 8x8x8 challenge presented by Lagoon, beginning, of course, on August 8th, right? 8-8. Got to do it on August 8th. Over the course of 8 days, you'll run 8 miles each day and be in bed for 8 hours of sleep every night. So, as your way of showing your commitment to fitness and to optimize your rest and your recovery, so just go to lagoonsleep.com/8x8x8. That's 8x8x8 to get started. In addition to that, you also save 10%, 10% discount on all the stuff over at Lagoon Sleep. My Lagoon pillow is a godsend. It really is. I sleep so well on that thing, and it's just, it's easily the best pillow I've ever had. And it's obviously going to stand the test of time. It has a 5-year guarantee. I mean, my goodness, this thing is an absolute game changer. So complete the challenge and share your journey to win exclusive prizes from Lagoon. So prove what you got when it comes to sleep and fitness, and also see what you're capable of. That's what I'm so excited about this. See what you're capable of doing in 8 days with the kind of sleep that comes with that. So again, that's lagoonsleep.com, 8x8x8 to get started today. Yeah, and it sounds like not going to grandma's could be a huge silver lining, especially if you're able to stack the training like you currently are, as opposed to like if you ran grandma's, maybe you wouldn't be able to do all these doubles and kind of building this fitness.
Yeah, I'm excited. Just taking full advantage while I can.
Now, you mentioned your 4-mile PR for this time trial happened, 8 years ago, which is, a long time, right? So how have you changed as a runner in that time, just from like a speed perspective, aerobic base perspective, endurance perspective? Like, is it a simple like one-to-one comparison, or do you view yourself as maybe more explosive, less explosive, being able to handle greater distance? Like, how would you describe your evolution as an athlete from, say, that 8-year mark to today?
Well, I'll tell you, to be honest, I'm starting to feel my age now. And, after these workouts, immediately after I finish the workouts, I could feel it in my legs. And I'll just say to my teammates, I'm like, I'm probably not gonna be able to walk the rest of the day. And it just does not feel as good, as smooth as it used to. But I'm hitting the paces, so I'm putting in the work. It just feels a lot different. But like the time trial that I did, it just opens up my eyes like, whoa, it's still there. It
right,
might feel different.
Still there.
It might feel a little different, but and it's not pretty, but we're getting there. I don't know what it is. I'll take it while I still got it. I'm going to keep
running.
How about
the long run execution and stuff like that? Like, do you feel like, maybe holding threshold pace and half marathon, marathon efforts, do you feel like you are different than you were back then? Or how would you make the comparison?
I mean, I've always had this, I call it the dad strength. So I think with the addition of the new child, I think I'm able to dig a little deeper now because it's like fresh again. So we'll see. It's been going pretty well. I've been able to go pretty deep in the pain cave again. So I'm excited about that.
So as grandma's was getting closer before before Naomi was born, and it was still, hey, we're going to be doing this. Obviously it was still like that last month, like you mentioned, was, a lot was going on, right? You guys are in and out of the hospital, the dog surgery, which any pet owner knows is a big deal, and it can be a wear and tear on you mentally and emotionally as well. As you were just progressing through those final 6 weeks of that marathon cycle, what were some of the key workouts you were doing, and how did you feel about them beyond the 4-mile time trial?
I mean, we were just having, some longer tempos.
And what does that mean?
Just probably race pace or slightly slower than race pace, like anywhere from 6 to 8 miles worth of stuff. With big mileage days, so anywhere from 18 to 21 miles, and sometimes we'll do a faster warm up just to get the legs tired before we go into the pace miles. Everything was going good. I was hitting most of my workouts. I didn't, usually I'll bomb some races, but some workouts. But the buildup was pretty smooth.
Now, in our first conversation, you talked about how you're working with a lot of younger runners, trying to helping to guide them through this process. Maybe they haven't gone through this process before, or if they did, it was kind of near the tail end of the previous cycle. So what's that been like from a mentor mode, but at the same time, you're almost like a player coach, right? So you're not just mentoring, you're also involved in it. So what's that process been like, and how have they been coming along? And I guess to make this a 3-part question, how has that affected you in your running?
Well, I kind of have the dad role a little bit, and sometimes I see them as my kids. They call me dad sometimes, and Let's just say these guys are growing up. They are getting fast. They're getting fit. The last time we talked, one of the guys had a huge PR in the half, probably dropped 6 minutes in his half marathon, dropped a huge chunk of time on his 5K. Another guy finally broke 14 minutes in the 5K. And so these guys are, I'm like struggling to hang on in the workouts now, especially when they're feeling good. I'll be hitting the goal paces and they're just, feeling really good and they'll be up ahead and I'm just struggling to hang on. So, right now I'm just glad to still be able to run with them as long as I can. But then they drop me. But I still have the faster marathon PR, so I still got to remind them about that.
Now, are there benchmarks from either a workout perspective or, I guess, more importantly, from a race perspective for someone trying to go sub 218? Like, are there certain things, like you mentioned, like one of the athletes had just broken 14 minutes in the 5K. Like, I guess, like, would that be like a possible benchmark? Like, hey, if you want to get to, sub 218, here are some steps along the way. Obviously, it's not going to be a rigid path, but are there certain benchmarks along the way that either you would identify or just people in your position would say, like, hey, in order to get to here, you have to at least touch these other places?
There's no guarantees, and everybody's different. There used to be a guy, Scott Boz, who's a 101 half marathoner. He was on Team USA for World Half Marathon Champs in the past, and he used to live in town. He used to train with us, and he's never broken 220 in the
Really?
marathon. Yeah, to my knowledge. And another guy, a friend of mine, same thing, 101 half, never broke 220. So there's no guarantees, but
Wow.
there's definitely signs that you should be able to run this if you've done that, the sub 14 runner on the squad, he's like reluctant to move up to marathon, but I just found out he's looking at some fast halves. So maybe trying to OTQ in the half, which is 103, which
Right,
is
right.
incredible time to hit. So with the sub 14, he should be in pretty good spot to run 103.
Right, because I would think that a 5K, well, a 5K might not be a great indicator for what you can run in the marathon, because there's just so many variables to play out in that extra 2 hours of time. Obviously, I would say it's I would assume, a pretty good indicator of what you can run in the half, especially because it takes the nutrition out of it, right? Like, you don't, there are plenty of people who run the half at your guys' pace that don't need to take nutrition on the course, right? And so it's for you guys, 13.1 miles for maybe me and some of the listeners is certainly like something you need nutrition for. But for you guys, we're only talking about an hour here, and that really, kind of changes things, I guess, from a planning perspective. So when you see someone running, around 14, is there a certain, like, okay, if you can do that, this is the kind of half marathon someone would expect?
Yeah, generally. I would say my shorter distance PRs are pretty slow for what I've been able to do in the marathon. I've run 217 and 218 in back-to-back years, and I've broken 15 minutes in the 5K just like three, four times, and
Really?
I've only broken, so my PR is 14:40 in the 5K, and my PR in the 10K is 30:52. So those would be slower times for what I've done in the marathon.
Yeah. So is that because, I guess, what are the reasons for that? Is it simply because you weren't running a lot of those races, or you weren't really, worried about them? I say that in light of, we just saw the U.S. women's half marathon time was just set, like, here at Amano this past weekend, and we did a group chat call, and we're going through like the history of the American record, and for like 30 years there was like it was only lowered once. And we're kind of like hypothesizing, like, all right, what was Joan Bonnet Samuelson just that much faster than everybody else, or was this because like no one viewed the half marathon as their A race, right? Trying to like figure out like how what played a part in like that time never moving, right? So for you, I guess the same question, like, did those times not move because you gave it your best and that's what they were? Or was it just a, hey, you weren't really focusing in those distances?
I mean, we definitely try to focus to lower those PRs, but it just wasn't in the cards. Just didn't happen. I think might have been my limit. I still like to think that I can lower them, and I'm going to still try, even being a master's runner. But I just go back to thinking it's all from that dad strength that I mentioned. And I think I'm just better the longer I go. And
Has that always been the case? Have you noticed that, like, in like practice and like with group runs, that like the farther you go, the kind of the more you level up within like within the groups and within the competition?
I mean, it's funny being like starting a long run and being like, oh my gosh, like everything hurts. I want it to be over already. And then you're like an hour and a half in and you're like, oh wait, I feel really good. I can keep going. And so running is just funny like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about, you mentioned like your PRs at the 5K and at the 10K. You know, we have touched on the half marathon already on this in this conversation. What have been like your half marathon PRs, and how have you approached that race in the past in terms of like, have you viewed the half marathons you've done as, you know, this A race, this, like, you know, I'm going into this race to run as best as I can, or have they been more stepping stones on the way to a marathon? Like, all right, we're 6 weeks out, I'm practicing, or I'm just basically training through this.
Yeah, they've always just been like a stepping stone. I like to do, in the past, I've always kind of done a half marathon before the marathon. So when I ran my PR in the marathon in 2017, I ran 2:17 a month before I did the Monterey half marathon. And it's kind of a tough course. There's a big climb in the middle of it. And yeah, so that was just like a long workout. Let's just do a long tempo, faster than marathon pace. And yeah, it was when I ran that one, it was a tough course, but I was still pretty close to my PR. So it was a good sign going into the marathon a month later. And these days, I mean, I don't really have the opportunity to race as often as I would like. So yeah, they're still being used as stepping stones to the next race, next marathon. I'm pretty sure I can lower the PR if I focused on just that specifically, like you asked. So yeah, we'll see. My PR is 106 high. And so, I mean, the 5 minute barrier has always been, you know, something that I've been looking at. So it'd be nice one day run 13 miles at sub five. So we'll see. We'll see if
there
I can
go.
Do it.
I mean, that half marathon also like aligns pretty well with like the times that you have in the marathon, right? I mean, if you look at like Kira D'Amato right now, right? So she ran 106:39, and her marathon PR, which was the American record, was right around your time. So I think she was like 2:18:30 or something, right?
Yeah. And the American women are getting so much faster now. I remember when I ran my PR in 2016 in Houston. And I got passed by the women's winner in the final straightaway. And at that time, it was the fastest women's half marathon on U.S. soil. They were announcing it as I was finishing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, if I'm going to be beat by a girl, at least, you know, it's one of the fastest times in history. So I'll take it.
Right. But you had like a front row seat to history right there, man.
Yeah.
That is pretty wild.
Yep.
Were you running with her the whole time, or did she just kind of creep up on you at the end?
Oh, she caught me. I was fading a little bit, and she caught me. There's nothing I could do.
Oh, and you actually heard the announcer? I feel like when I'm when I'm like in that, like when I'm in, as Adam Peterman calls it, like when I'm in the box, right? Like I don't hear anything at all.
Oh, I heard it. Just because the fans were just erupting.
Oh, yeah.
And cheers and. What's going on? Oh, but I knew, like, when I saw her pass me, I knew something special was happening because I was on my way to a fast time.
Right.
And so I'm like, what's going on?
So did she pass you with purpose? Like, was it just like, did she kind of linger by your side, or was she just gone?
Gone.
Oh my
And
God,
then
that's
same thing
awesome.
happened in, I think, 2019 when I ran the Chicago the last time. I think someone ran like 218, like almost near the world record, or he might have set the world record in
That
that
was that was
race.
that the year that Bridget Koskay? Was
I
that
think
218?
so. 18 or 19, I forgot. But
Yeah,
I
it was like
was in that
218
race.
or 2019. Yeah, she was going out. I think she was on like 214 pace for a long time.
Yep. I was in that race too.
Oh, you were. I mean, you had like a front row seat. You're like for running. You're like how Steve Kerr is for basketball. He's like a front row seat to history all the time.
Yep.
This is like you for running.
Yep.
Hey folks, let's talk about vacation races. So vacation races host half marathons, ultra marathons, and trail running festivals at national parks around the country and week-long running adventures all around the world. These global adventures offer daily 7 to 12K trail runs in the morning and afternoon activities that include high adventure things like glacier treks, zip lining, whitewater rafting, or cultural activities like wine tasting, falconry, historic tours, cooking classes. These things, they offer just such a wide range of things. If you're worried about pace, don't be. They require runners to maintain around a 20-minute mile pace. So as long as you're basically moving with purpose, you're going to be just fine. These adventures are all inclusive, which means hotels, in-country transportation, meals, drinks, activities, and swag are all covered in the trip. And they just announced their full 2024 calendar, which you're going to want to check out. Again, I know we just started 2023, but you got to plan these trips way in advance. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They have 11 different destinations. Examples are like Alaska, Costa Rica, Croatia, Ecuador, Iceland, Ireland, Japan, New Zealand, Patagonia. So many. It really is remarkable. You can go check them out at vacationraces.com. New customers can use Rambling 200 for $200 off any global adventure trip that is not currently sold out. Also, you can use code RAMBLING15 for 15% off any of the half marathons or ultra marathon adventures that are not currently sold out. So remember, it's code RAMBLING200 for the global adventures and RAMBLING15 for 15% off the half marathon or ultra marathons. I think it's funny you have like this like pattern of like marathons matching the year you're running them, right? So you ran 2017 and 2017, you ran 2018 and 2018. How long can you obviously want to run faster than 2023 this year, but how long can we keep going? Can we run 2050 and 2050? Like, can we keep this going? This
Let's
could
keep
be like
going.
a whole thing.
I'm gonna keep trying until the wheels fall off.
It could be like 50, and like in it could be 50 years from now. You're just like, no, I still got to break three, man. I got to run, whatever.
But a note on that 2018 race was I was on pace for 213, 214 through like 18 miles before I hit the wall. And
Oh.
then I started doing math at that point. I think I mentioned this last time. I started doing math and I'm like, oh man, I could still run. 'Cause I was still running like 5:30s, even though I hit the wall and shut it down. And I started doing math and I'm like, I could still break 219. So then I just like did what I could to run the 218:50 that I did there.
I love it. How often do you do math now when you're doing training runs and hearkening back to maybe what you would do in those same training runs back in, 2017, 2018?
Well, I'm always if it you know, I'm always looking at that 6 minute barrier on some of these runs. I do all my runs on the same activity on the watch, the warm up, the workout, and the cool down. And so on the cool down, I'll look at my watch and I'm like, if we run a 6:30 right now, we can average sub six for the whole run. And so I like seeing sub six for the entire run for workout days, long run days. So I'll do the math there. And in the races too, it's like if I run this time, I could still salvage, with
Right.
the fade. Sometimes when you have that slow fade in the second half of a race, start calculating like, what can I run if I run six flats from here on out or 5:30s, just salvage plan B, C, D.
Now, how much do you follow the sport? when say you're not in the race, right? So obviously if you're at grandma's, you know what's going on and all of that stuff. But, you know, like over the course of this past spring, you have like these major races happening. You got Boston, you got grandma's, right? You have like the world championships are going to be going on this week as well. How much do you keep up with the sport from a fan perspective?
Yeah, I'm always looking at seeing what the top people are doing and seeing how much they're pushing the sport now. Like, we have other people that are threatening the world record. It's not just Kipchoge up there anymore by himself. So yeah, I'm always following what's going on with that. But specifically, I'm following what's going on in the Masters world. So even though I'm not able to go out and race all over the country right now, I'm still following and seeing what the top Masters runners are doing and just kind of seeing.
And who are the people that you're really keying on?
Well, there's Fernando Cabada.
Of course.
Ben Bruce, Malcolm Richards, and there's a couple other guys. So I'm just kind of seeing where I need. Oh, Sergio Reyes is another guy. So I'm always just seeing like where they're at and like how far I'm off from them and if what I'm doing right now is pretty comparable. So I'm hoping to put together a strong Masters racing calendar for next year, since I already had a lot of weekends booked last year and this year for weddings. I just haven't been able to race that much, but I'm not slowing down too much. I think there's
not at all, right?
A lot of life
left. Proved at the 4 mile time trial. So
yeah.
Do you have visions of running the Masters World Championships? I know that they've alternated it. They've had it at London. I think they're going to have it at Chicago next. Is that something that's like firmly affixed to your future race plan?
I'm definitely going to look into it and see if it works. One of my teammates, Sue McDonald, she's doing the track Masters competitions, World Championships, U.S. Championships, stuff like that. She set in world records for her age.
Oh, man.
And so I saw her in practice today, and I'm like, hey, I need to tag along with you next year and just do all the races that you're doing. She's been in Europe and stuff like that, and so it would be nice to go out and do these races. And I need to do more research, see what there is also.
Yeah, for sure. And especially on the women's side, you know, the women who are now in these Masters divisions were the people who, you know, were born right around when Joan ran LA, right? I mean, that was when that happened, right? It's 1984. So it's like, this is the era especially for the women's side where like, hey, the Masters runners were like, these are the runners that, you know, brought the whole sport through. And now they're aging into that level. Obviously, you know, Joni wasn't born in 1984, but the people who watched her and were influenced by her are now of that age where they're able to make that happen. Obviously, on the men's side, it's a little different, but it's like, shoot, you can get inspiration from anybody, right? So when you see her going out there and doing that kind of work day in, day out and getting those kind of results, what's it like for you, you know, having, you know, drawing from someone who you're obviously not competing with in terms of those same records, but who's a peer of yours, you know, in the community?
It's very inspiring, and it's just funny because we'll be finishing an interval. We'll be running maybe a 70-second 400 meters, but she's doing 200s, and so she's running them a little faster, and so she'll, like, kick us down as we're finishing our intervals, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Oh, that's smart. So she waits for you to go by, and then she starts, and she just tries to hunt you down?
Blows past us.
I love that. That's a smart move, man.
Oh, yeah.
That is really cool. All right, so how do you approach summer racing now? You know, when you have, like, obviously you live in Southern California, and, you know, summer racing can get tricky. Obviously, the weather can be sweltering. It can be really tough. How do you like to approach it in terms of the race length that you like to do?
Well, my race length is the marathon and half marathon.
So you're going to be signing for half marathons this summer?
If I can find one, but every time I look on the calendar, I have stuff booked already, so it's hard. But like I said, right now I just have the Santa Barbara half. I think that's in October or November.
Yeah, a lot of time until then.
I know. So I definitely need to see what else there is. I might just need to jump in a low key race and just use it as a workout.
I mean, there's so many runners in that area. Are there like summer classics that a lot of people like to run that aren't the half marathon distance?
There's some like small trail races and some like little 5Ks and 10Ks. Yes, we have like a weekly series during the summer called Night Moves, and it's a 5K, and it's tough because it's a mile and a half climb on the
Oh,
road,
that's fun.
and then you turn around and then it's just
Is
mile and a
screaming
half
back down.
down. So I'll try to do that a few times before it's over.
So what mile pace can you hit coming back down the hill?
I've seen guys go 4:30 pace down for the mile. Craig Lutz, I don't, do you know who he is? Yeah,
Yeah, but
he
he was for the Hoka Naz Elite, and I think he works for Hoka now.
so he used to live here in town, and when he first moved here, I saw him jog a 14:30 on that race with that mile and a half climb up. And he
Jog a
just came,
14:30.
he
What a
jogged
line.
it, and I was so mad because I was like, ah, I would kill for that time.
Right, he beat your PR by 10 seconds and he jogged it.
And he just looked so relaxed. So I'd like to try and do it this year. And I mean, it'd be nice to break 15 minutes on that course. But, low
Then when's
15 would be
Carlsbad?
nice. Oh, when is that one?
Because that's a huge race.
Yeah. I need to look into that.
Isn't that a summer? I feel like that's a summer race.
I'm not sure.
Have you run that one before?
Never. I'd like to. But it looks
Yeah, because what
like.
do? They section it out? They have like races throughout the day, right? Like
Oh,
certain
yeah.
time groups, they all go off at like they kind of. It's almost like the people know that the Trials of Miles series. If they follow that, they'll see like all right, the 22:30 to 21:35 K, and they go. But it's a track race; they have to do that. They can't just do a mass start. But I think Felix Carlsbad is the Carlsbad 5000, is what they call it. It's almost like named
Yeah.
after like a NASCAR race. It's like
Right.
it, but they do that for a road race, which you never see.
Yeah, and it's different age groups, I think.
Oh.
I don't think it's like, well, they have like the elite, and then I think from there it's maybe men and women and age groups.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do that one and go for a age group or masters win.
There you go. See, that's the thing, is that like that's not even like trying to be humble about it, right? I mean, there's so many high-level athletes where you live, like taking any kind of win is a huge deal. Forget whether it's open, masters, or whatever.
Well, one of my goals is to win a Masters US title, so
Is that right?
that's something I'm gonna be looking forward to
I love
working
it.
towards.
I love it. Well, I'm gonna be racing Peter Bromka in the mile here in Rhode Island the first week of
Okay.
August. So if you can't find a race, you can come to Rhode Island. You and Peter, I know you guys were around the same marathon time, 3 years ago. I think you might be at a
Right.
different level than him right now. But so he's gonna run a mile. I'm gonna run three laps. We're gonna see if we can win. But you can go right next to Peter. You can go torch him and then do torch me in the process.
He just won a track race, didn't he, recently?
He did. I think it was
A
like the Rose
mile.
City Mile or something.
Pretty good.
So it was like 4:33. He's listening to this. He'll probably yell at me for that. But
All
yeah, I
right.
think it was at 4:33 or 4:31.
Nice.
You know
Yeah,
who
the
else has been
mile's a
doing a
little
lot of
too
Masters
short.
track races is Mario Fraioli. Yeah,
Okay.
because
Yeah.
he came east and did one, and I think he has done a couple up in the San Francisco area as well.
Yeah, I think if I'm gonna travel and leave the wife and baby and the other kids behind and the dogs, it's got to be a longer race, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. Right. If you're traveling for hours, you have to be running more than 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Or in this case, 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah, because I'm unsponsored. I gotta, pay for the travel and all the expenses myself, entry fees. And that's what's making it hard to go out and race. I'd rather stay in town, do a wedding, and make a good amount of money doing that. So it's
For
that
sure.
balance.
For sure. Now, do you have I guess, any insight as to maybe doing the 2-marathon route in the fall? Obviously, with CIM being the first weekend in December, it does open it up to potentially running one late September, early October, and then bouncing back. So I guess instead of running the Santa Barbara half, throwing another marathon in the mix, especially not running Grandma's, has that entered your mind as a potential possibility?
I thought about it, and the only races I saw that it would work out with my schedule, I had to throw Chicago out the window because I have something that weekend. But I looked at Indy Monumental and the Toronto Marathon. But yeah, I don't know if I can leave the country. That's gonna be too far. So I might look at that Indy Monumental. We'll see if that works in the schedule. I think that one's in August, September, maybe.
I think it's been October. Monumental's been in October, because I think last year was like they usually have fairly good weather, but last year was like nuts. It was like torrential rain, super wind, and maybe it was first weekend in November.
Okay.
But it definitely wasn't like August, September. Okay. And I guess the other one potential is the McCurdy Micro.
Yeah, I don't know if I.
But that's
ran
October.
Any...
That's October 14th, so it'll be the same weekend as Santa Barbara. So that's like the one where it's like, again, I was shouting out my buddy James McCurdy, who's a good friend of mine. But I know that's the one that's like this geared towards people to get an OTQ. But you know, it'd be a flight because it's in New York.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's been so long since I've run a fast time, and when you look at these races, they're like, what have you run in the last 2-3 years, and it's like, oh man, like I've just had like a string of bad luck ever, you know, with getting COVID and bouncing back from that and injuries.
I don't know. James was on this podcast. He was saying that if people have shown that they can do it, then they're invited. Right. So he's like, hey, like there are like rules in terms of like you have to be around this level. He goes, but there's extenuating circumstances, like we're here for people to get their OTQ. So again, I'm not here like shilling for James, but he's a good friend of mine, and I am a McCurdy trained coach. So I'd be remiss if I didn't say like, hey, if you really wanted to run it, I'm sure like you'd have a pretty good chance.
I'll look into it. Yeah, that might work. In the past, I've done 2 marathons in the year, but it's always been like spring and winter.
Right. So this would be October 14th. So you'd be basically having a 7-week turnaround to CIM.
Yeah. I'll look into it, see if it works, and maybe reach out.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, hey, I'm glad that things are going well. Naomi's doing well. Melissa's doing well. And that you're doing well, my man. It's so good to catch up. I'm glad that, again, that you got a healthy little girl over there and that the other two kids are doing well as well.
Yep.
Curly, thank you so much for hopping on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ramiro, thank you so much for coming on the show. Man, this was so much fun. I love talking to him. He is such a great guy. Also, make sure you check out Vacation Races and Lagoon. All the links are in the show notes. Go check them out today. Thank you so much for listening, and happy running.